We ask, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you'd receive our thanks, our praise, and our worship as we have all month long been considering the unstoppable Christmas. And tonight we hear why. And tonight we celebrate why. And Lord, thank you that the whole family's with us tonight. The little ones together on our laps. And Lord, we pray that we would experience revival in our families right here in America. That our families, Lord God, would be touched by the power of your word and your spirit. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we thank you that no one in the world can ever take away from us Christmas. The coming of your Son, as we'll learn more about tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Church, listen, grab your Bibles tonight if you have them handy. I know some of you are holding little ones. But if you grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And that's where we'll be looking at in our brief time together tonight. And I'm just going to ask you to park right there. And I'm going to read to you a verse or a passage of Scripture that will set us up for 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. As we now make our final installment in our study this month on the unstoppable Christmas. And when you think about all that's going on, all the stuff that's crazy in the world, all the stuff that's great in the world, all the news, all the announcements, all the hubbub, as we heard that spoken word commencing or starting our service tonight, the demands of Christmas. It doesn't matter. No matter what, Christmas will never be, no matter what laws are passed or no matter what somebody might say, Christmas will never be, can never be taken away from the true believer because we know the one in whom we worship. We know the one in whom we believe. Christmas is a message, is a story that is right out of the Bible, right out of the very heart of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16, park right there, listen to Luke chapter 2. You can close your eyes if you want. You know it, you've heard it 1,000 times, but listen now tonight. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I give you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this night in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from the shepherds into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And we want to make known to you tonight that we celebrate Christmas. 2,000 years since the advent of that invasion from heaven, making the announcement. Those angels proclaimed it to be so. All of it summed up in one passage of Scripture. I love this verse. If you attend this church, you've heard it many times. I try to wiggle it into every message as possible. But this verse in 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy," the word means without a debate. You can argue it if you want, but you're not going to win against this truth, that great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the world or the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So church, tonight, as we conclude our month-long series on the unstoppable Christmas, I want to end tonight with this. Christmas is all about the unstoppable Jesus. Jesus himself is unstoppable. His name is praised. His name is cursed. People curse his name and people praise his name. All around the world, governments are afraid of the name of Jesus. Think of that for a moment. All around the world, there are those who open up their hearts to Jesus. Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, he's unstoppable. And you're going to hear tonight quickly, as we have a family service, I'll be sensitive to our time, that tonight your kids hear and you're reminded how Jesus Christ is, in fact, the unstoppable Christmas. Number one, this way, Jesus, the Bible says, had to come. He had to come. It's not like his father said to him, now Jesus, you get down there and you do a work. No, the Bible teaches us that Jesus was in full agreement. Jesus was excited. Jesus, because the love of God so loved us that Jesus didn't view his coming to us as a baby, as some terrible thing. No, because God loved you so much, Jesus Christ came, and he came with that great mission. And we understand this. In 1 Timothy 3:16, that verse says this, that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. We love mysteries, but what does this word mystery mean? The Bible means this when it says the word mystery here. Listen, everybody, it's very graphic. This verse is very graphic. It means to shut your mouth tight for a time. Imagine you want to say something so bad. You want to say something to your friends so much, but you hold your lips shut. You're keeping your mouth shut. It's a mystery that has always been. It's a mystery that is waiting to be revealed. And the Bible tells us that this mystery now is about to be revealed, all about Jesus. And that word means that it is to be a mystery that is held closely until. It's a word that means about time. It's a mystery that's, you're holding your mouth shut, you want to say it, but you're holding it because the time is not yet, but it's soon. That word also means to know a secret, but you can't tell it yet. Imagine God having a secret, but he wasn't going to say it until a certain time. What was that time? Christmas. It was all about the Christmas birth of Jesus Christ. Him coming. Him being a human. So you think right now, as we celebrate Christmas tonight with family and tomorrow and this week ahead of us, it's all about God sending us the greatest gift. And that's why, you know, some of you will open up gifts tonight. Some of you will open up gifts tomorrow. Where did that come from? It's all in the line of tradition and celebration that God gave us his gift, Jesus. Imagine Jesus the gift, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Soon Jesus would grow up. Soon Jesus would be, as it were, unwrapped, as we shall see in this verse, and he will be proclaimed to the world. Jesus is the unstoppable Christmas. The next thing is that Jesus, listen, think about it. When you think of all of the angels, and you think of all of the magi coming to bring gifts to Jesus, Jesus' coming had to be a big party. I mean, it's a big party, not the party that you and I might think of. I mean, when you have a party, don't you get like balloons? Don't you do things special? You get candles, you get all this stuff, you might get some music, and you have lights. Why? Because it's a big celebration. But even though Jesus was not born in a hospital, he wasn't born in the Jerusalem Hilton, he was born in a stable, probably in Bethlehem. Stables were made out of caves because wood was so precious. And the manger. When you look at a manger in Israel, it's not made out of wood. Now, I know the little manger you have on your dresser or on your table at home might have Jesus in a little wooden manger, you know, but it was actually a feeding trough for animals. It's carved out of stone. They would have laid him in that manger of stone. I'm sure Joseph cleaned it out. He probably put straw all over it, but it would have had, cow snot on it. It would have had maybe some goat boogers there along there, and they had to clean it up. There was no room for him anywhere, and so they laid the Son of God. Don't you think if you were God and you were going to send your son to the world, that he would have been born in some gold-plated palace? Thank God Jesus came And he was born into a poor family. And he was laid in a little manger where animals would eat out of. But God used what God has, a whole entire angelic host. And there that verse says in 1 Timothy 3:16 that God was manifested in the flesh. Look at the word manifested. That is a tremendous word because that word means to suddenly appear in person. When this wonderful worship began tonight, the crowd, all of us went dark out here, and the lights came upon this stage. And there was a little girl starting to sing, or there was the spoken word that that young man gave. Somebody was in the light. And the Bible tells us that Christmas, when Jesus was manifested to the world, there was a spotlight, not from any candle, not from any torch, or not from any lamp, but from heaven above. It means to be suddenly appearing. The word means to be declared to the people. That word means to be announced publicly. And you think of Jesus laying in that manger, and as it were, the world was coming to him. It was a great party, as it were. The angels began to sing and to shout, rejoicing. Tonight, born in Bethlehem, they shouted, is Christ the Lord. And they began to praise and worship. I love that. I love that. The one angel standing there, he probably had notes. He's standing there making the announcement to the shepherds, so polite. And that would have been amazing. Shepherds out in the dark in the fields, this one angel illuminating the area. All of them are afraid, the Bible tells us. He says, don't be afraid. And then when he had announced, tonight, this night, born in the city of David is Christ the Lord. And then we read it a moment ago in Luke chapter 2. And all of a sudden an angelic host appeared. And I know, look, God knows everything. But I'm wondering, did that angel know that all of his angel buddies were going to pipe in and jump into that scene? I wonder if it startled him. I wonder if he was making the announcement to the shepherds. And then all of a sudden the angels of heaven, they can't take it. They just explode. Glory to God in the highest. And I wonder if he looked back at his buddies there, looked back at his angel friends. It's a huge announcement. It's a glorious party that was visited by celestial angels announcing. Listen, my friends, tonight remember, tomorrow remember, every present you open, if it's one or ten, it's only because Jesus was unwrapped for us. That God brought him to us. That's why we do it. If you're going to give a gift to somebody, you're actually acting out what God did for us. You're going to be doing that when you hand someone a gift. And God gave us the ultimate gift. Also this, there's no one like Jesus. All month long on Sundays, we've been studying how the Bible speaks primarily from Genesis to Revelation, all about one man and one man's mission that began in eternity, that God would become a man and his name would be called Jesus. Nobody has what you have tonight, Christian. Nobody. That your God came, the creator of the universe and the creator of you, came. And the Bible is all about that. That's where the Bible here says in 1 Timothy 3:16 that Jesus was justified in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, now that he has come, the mystery, the amazing secret's been announced. And that secret is that he would be manifested as a human to us, that it would be the biggest party in the heavens that the world will ever know. That living among us as a human being, Jesus was justified in the Spirit. You see, what does that mean? It means that he was tested, examined, and proved to be, listen everybody, tested, examined, and proved to be perfect. Are you perfect? I'm not perfect. Hey kids, I know your moms want you, your moms and dads say, now you go and you be a really good boy today. Hey, isn't it hard to be a little good boy all the time? You be a really good girl today. Isn't it hard to be a little good girl? It's tough. Listen, husbands, don't you tell your wives and your wives tell your husbands, can you just be really good today? It's tough. We're just talking about being good. Jesus was perfect. Perfect, perfect. All the time perfect. Now look, let's be honest. And this is still in his examination, in his being justified by the Spirit. The word implies that the Holy Spirit, watch this everybody, little baby Jesus sent to be our perfect sacrifice for our sins, that the Holy Spirit of God examined him constantly, constantly. Just like the priest at the temple would examine the little lambs constantly, constantly to see if they were worthy to be the sacrifice. Well, the Bible says that Jesus was sent to us as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, our sins. And he was proven. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't believe in Jesus. Well, I'd like to know why. And sometimes people get upset with God. Well, I don't know. I'm angry with God over this. I'm angry with God over that. You know, tomorrow you're going to get your gifts. You're going to unwrap them. And I don't know if you're going to be happy with them or not. I don't know if you're going to get exactly what you're hoping to find. You know, listen, we should be thankful tomorrow that we have fingers to unwrap a gift. You know, think of that. We should be so thankful to God for everything. And there's a lot of bad stuff that happens in the world that God has nothing to do with that. Think of that. But the truth of the matter is, some people are upset with Jesus. And I always like to ask them, what has he ever done to you? And you know they don't have an answer. Everything good, everything wonderful, everything perfect is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the unstoppable Christmas. There's nobody like him. And so he was justified in the Spirit. Next, the Bible teaches us that Jesus became, listen, like us. You see, what do you mean like us? I just said he was perfect. How can he be like us? Oh, look at your hands. Look at your hands. Look at your feet. Look at your knees. Can you touch your nose, your ears, the top of your head? Jesus, the eternal God, came to this world just like us. And think of it. God. The Bible says God is spirit. But when Jesus was born, Jesus had fingers. He had two thumbs. He had hands. Think of that. You see, well, everybody, so what? Everybody does. But we're talking about God coming here and putting on a human body. You look so beautiful tonight. All of you have ties. I even have a tie tonight. What a shockeroo. It's amazing. What is that? I put on this tie. I put on this suit. Listen, Jesus put on human skin. And he came into this world. He came like us. Why would he come like us? Because according to the Bible, a man would have to go to the cross and die for us. A sacrifice that represented us. A sacrifice that represented our sins and our failures, our tempers, our pride and our bad words and our angry attitudes. Who could do that? It couldn't be angel, wouldn't qualify. A glorious heavenly angel wouldn't qualify. No beautiful animal could qualify. It had to be the perfect representative. And Jesus came and became just like us. So much so, are you ready for this? The Bible says here that he was seen by angels. Seen by angels. What does that word mean, seen by angels? It means that that angels had wide eyes. Their eyes were opened as wide as an angel's eyes can get. I have a question for you. How wide can angels' eyes get? How big can they get? I don't know. But the Bible says that the angels, he was seen by angels. However big angels' eyes can get, that's how big they absolutely maxed out their eyes. At what? When Jesus was being born. They were seeing him for the first time in skin. The word means to focus your eyes with intensity. Can you imagine an angel? Well, how does that work? An angel focusing. Well, how do they do that? To focus their eyes with intensity at the birth of Jesus. Don't tell me it wasn't awesome. Don't tell me it was something common. Angels were so impressed at the birth of Jesus. Listen, this is awesome. The baby Jesus is coming out of Mary in birthing, and the angels are gathered around. Nobody could see them, of course. They're spirit beings. They're spirit creatures. They're watching. Can you imagine? They're all bumping wings together. They're looking, crowding in. What do you see? I don't see much. What's that? Ta-da! Because this word also means, we get the English word from this word to gawk. You know gawking? You know what gawking? I don't know, kids, if you know what gawking is, but it means to stare with your mouth open. Angels, wide-eyed, mouth open. And can you imagine? I see the hair. You know, look, Jesus was Hebrew. He was a Jewish boy. He's going to have black curly hair coming out. He's got black curly hair. There's his nose. There's his chin. There's his mouth. Look. There's his shoulder. There's his arm. Angels freaking out. Why? Quickly, in heaven, it appears in the Bible that angels just don't show up in heaven and say, hey, God, you're looking good today. Awesome. No. The Bible tells us that angels cover their face in the presence of God. Most scholars believe, most students believe of the Bible, that when Jesus was being born physically, it's the first time they ever saw their creator. The Bible says Jesus created angels. Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews 1. That they saw their creator for the first time. And the first time they got to see their creator, he's wearing human skin. Isn't that amazing? The Bible tells us that God created angels and they minister in the invisible world to us. Wow. So here, look, Jesus made angels, but Jesus wasn't born into the world like an angel. The Jesus who made angels is born into the world a mere little human, helpless baby. And that had to freak out. Well, it did freak out the angels. That's what it says. They're freaked out. They're over wide-eyed and big mouth. Next, we see that he's preached among the Gentiles, which makes Jesus unstoppable too. Jesus makes us, you guys, unstoppable also. You see, what do you mean? I'm not special like that. Wait a minute. How many of you believe in Jesus? Raise your hands. That's a lot of believers in here. Do you know what Christmas is about? Yes. Do we know what the angels had to say? Do we know why he came? Listen, if we know the answer to this, then that makes us unstoppable too. Because we've got something to say. See, of ourselves, look, we're kind of helpless, right? Somebody might say, don't talk to me like that. I'm a big, strong man. Oh, come on, you're helpless. Really, without God, you're helpless. But you know what? When we have the Word of God in us, we've got something to say. We don't run around saying stuff. That's the last thing the world needs to hear is more stuff. Listen, we've got something to say. Tonight, 2,000 years ago, we celebrate this evening, marking that night when born in the city of David, in the town of Bethlehem, was the Lord. We've got something to say. That word preached means to tell others. It's kind of cool. It means us telling others about Christmas, and they turn around and tell others. I love that. That's what God wants us to do, to say it over and over again. It's a great thing. Next, we're almost done. Listen, Jesus, coming into the world for us, sending us this message to trust him. Meaning Jesus can handle anything. Jesus can handle everything, anything. Jesus. Call out to Jesus more. Read his Bible. You'll get to know him more. Pray in his name. And listen, if somebody says to you, don't do that, just smile at them. Because They can't stop you. If they say, if we see your lips moving, you're going to get in trouble, then just go just like this. Because you can talk to Jesus in silence if they make you. I heard a story the other day. I was driving, and I was listening to Pastor Chuck Swindoll. And he was talking about a man who was in a Soviet prison in Russia, in the Soviet Union. And the man was in jail. He was a Christian. He was put in prison because he was a believer in Jesus. And outside of his prison was a communist, atheistic guard. And the Christian prisoner was singing and singing. And the guard said, "Don't you get sick of singing these songs?" And he goes, "No, not at all." And it really bothered the man. He's standing like this. "Why do you keep singing like that?" "Because I'm thinking about God's great promises. He's amazing." And day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, the man was in prison. And one day it dawned on that Christian that was in prison. He said, "Hey, you know something? I'm more free than you are." He goes, "That's ridiculous. You're in prison. You're behind. You can't walk around anywhere." He said, "I didn't talk about walking around anywhere." He said, "I'm really free." "What do you mean by that?" he said. He said, "I can think anything I want to think. I can believe anything I want to believe." And he said, "I can sing anything I want to sing." And he said, "I can do anything I want to do." Down deep inside, that really, really matters, because I'm free, because Jesus has set me free. He says, "You don't believe in Jesus. You're on the outside of freedom." He said, "You're outside of these bars, but you're the one that's in prison. You're not free to think what you want to think. You can't say what you'd like to say." Think of that impact. You can be that free tonight. Jesus can handle anything, even if you're in the prison house of fear or the prison house of worry. Think of it. Tonight, our friend Saeed Avandini is in prison in Iran, praising the Lord. In fact, listen, there are some of his enemies that are now defending him against those who want to kill him in prison. Why? Because he loves Jesus. Amazing. Jesus can handle anything, everything. When that word says believed on him, it means to put your life in his hands. That's a good thing. And then it's this, finally this. Jesus went back to heaven to show us the way. Christmas, and Jesus is the unstoppable Christmas. If somebody says, "Why did he come?" You tell them. You tell the, listen, you're going to be a family tomorrow. You tell the family, especially when you're young. "You little ones, you're so cute. No one's going to say anything to you." You just tell Grandma and Grandpa, you tell Uncle Fred and Aunt Wilma, you tell them all, you just tell them, Jesus came from heaven to show us the way to heaven. And Jesus went back to heaven to make sure for us that we get there too. Jesus left us to make sure that we get there. He's going to come back for us. And listen, when someone is sick or hurt or dying, or some day like we had a trial run last Sunday, when the trumpet blows or when we are sick. Listen, you can cry. You can be sad if somebody's sick and somebody's hurting. We understand that. But listen, if somebody's trusting in Jesus, the moment they die is the moment they open up their eyes, probably with all those angels, and we see Jesus face to face. Why? Listen, Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross for us, but 3 days later rose again from the dead. And then, listen, he said, "I'm going back to heaven." And he says, "I'll come back and I'll get you sometime. You be waiting for me." Imagine that. What an awesome thing. Jesus Christ, our Creator, our Savior, our God, took upon a body just like us, spoke the words of life to us so that we would know the way. Jesus said it this way: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus is the door, and he's your Savior, and he's your Lord. Let's pray together, church. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your great love. We thank you every year we take time to celebrate the coming of Jesus. But for all of us who believe in you, we celebrate Christmas every day. It's every day for us. And it's awesome. God, you're so good. Thank you, Lord, that this world is not all that there is. And, you know, tonight's cool. Tomorrow's really cool. Christmas trees, gifts, family, food, fun, people, parades, music. That's neat. But it's nothing compared to Jesus, our unstoppable Jesus. So, Lord, tonight we give you our lives. All you have asked of us in return is to put our trust in you, to call upon your name, Jesus, Savior of the world, that we celebrate that 2,000 years ago, you came and you changed forever for us. Thank you, Lord, the unstoppable God, the unstoppable Jesus, our unstoppable Christmas. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.